I decided to write the book after my travel to Poland. I went to Poland after living for 20 years in Australia and not being back to my homeland. I couldn't travel back because of political and financial reasons, but perhaps one major reason was that I left my grandmother behind in Poland, and while I was in Australia, she passed away. So I couldn't imagine going back to the house where I grew up and facing a house without her. So it took me 20 years to actually go, and Simon, my husband, that took me there. So I stood in front of my grandmother's house in a beautiful village in Karkonosze Mountains, and I saw nothing that much has changed. The tree was the same beautiful linden tree in front, and in front of my grandmother's house are bushes, wild rose bushes. And while smelling the petals of that of the roses, I just had this very vivid memory of my grandmother's jam that she used to make from rose petals, and remembered back from 1960s and Poland. I remember through a child's eyes, really. I left Poland when I was a teenager. So that's how I went back home and basically sat down and wrote the story about my grandmother.
And you have a beautiful memory of actually picking the rose petals that were used in the jam?
Yes. I used to pick up the rose petals early in the morning. I was sent by my grandmother with a little basket, and the petals had to be picked up while they were still wet and that had a bit of a morning dew on that. So they were the most fragrant then and not dry, and they smelled most beautiful, and they smelled on my fingers. And it's that smell of the rose petals, that's the most sort of powerful memory for me. It's quite Proustian childhood memory.
When we were driving to her village for the first time after she'd been away for 20 years, and as my first trip to Poland, I didn't know where we were, and Beata was very anxious, as she said, anxious about going there when this beloved grandmother wasn't there, and what would the remaining family think, and would she be arrested? That was another irrational fear she had, because she'd left under when it was communist and in the middle of the night without a passport, and I kept explaining to her, it's okay, you know, no one's going to arrest us, it's safe now, Poland is a free country. But she suddenly said, stop the car. And I thought, that's it, she's not going to go through, so we're going to go back to Australia. But she leapt out of the car, ran into the bushes, and came back a few seconds later with this bundle of rose petals, which she'd found, wild rose petals. And she thrust them into my face and said, smell this. So I did what I was told, and it smelled very nice. And she said, that is the smell of my childhood. And in a way, that was the beginning of the book, too. That was the concept, a foodie memoir about her childhood in Poland.
And as I read on and moved through the book, I noticed that the jam ended up in some donuts as well that she made.
Yes.
So what a delicious memory, too.
Yes.
Childhood does spark that for us. We remember those smells and the people that were before us that brought those traditions to our kitchen tables and in our kitchens. What a wonderful memory it must be, and then in such a beautiful country.
Yes, I had very fond memories of my country. We used to travel with school, not that much with my parents, because not many people had cars back in 1960s communist Poland, but there were bus excursions to Warsaw, to Wrocław, to Krakow. So that's how I remembered Poland. But truly, I haven't traveled around Poland as extensively as I could travel now. So I was already in my 40s, really, when I saw Poland for the very first time. And I was thrilled to see free, democratic, beautiful country. It's the country that was described to me in a way by my grandparents, but they didn't live long enough to see it. So
how difficult was it for you and your family to live there during that time?
I think it was very, very difficult, but I was surrounded by very loving family. And while my parents studied, I lived with my grandmother in the little village, where she would prepare all the food for me, where we would walk in the mountains, walk through forests. So it was quite an idyllic childhood in a way, although there was a communism somewhere out there. But that's not my memory. My memory is of people around me.
And Simon, you were able to capture these beautiful memories. Just the landscape and the other items that are in here are just incredible. Watching that through your lens, and you were able to tell your wife's story.
Well, I was just stunned by Poland. I mean, I grew up in England. I'm not Polish, I'm ashamed to say. And I knew nothing about Poland. And I think everyone in England, it was greyed out, Eastern Europe. We thought we knew European culture, but we didn't. We actually only knew half of it. And then I fell in love with this Polish woman I met in Australia, and she took me there, and she said, actually, there's this poet called Wisława Szymborska, and there's this painter called Olga Boznanska, you know, who does this incredibly romantic painting. I'd never seen anything like it. And the countryside, where there's a castle or an old church every 5 kilometres, and there are these beautiful romantic castles with a moat and someone sitting in a wooden boat reading a book of poems, you know. I mean, it's just, I couldn't believe it.
It takes you back in time,
too.
Well,
it does. I mean, I used to go to the south of France a lot when I was a child, and I feel Poland today reminds me of those holidays then, kind of undiscovered, too. And I feel ambivalent about whether we should tell anyone about it, because it might get spoiled. But you can combine that with the food, which is frankly delicious. The produce, you know, you can stop in a town in rural Poland and buy yourself some bread and cheese for nothing, and it's all fresh and delicious, and the vegetables are all kind of naturally organic and earthy. You know, Jamie Oliver's running around telling us all to have farm markets in our towns. Well, it's there in Poland now. You know, it's sort of kind of naturally organic. So you've got this wonderful fresh produce, this lovely traditional cooking, which takes place at home in the family, like the babchev. Grandma cooks it or mum cooks it, and maybe everyone joins in and makes pierogi together. So you've got food as the center of the family in the most charming way. Put on that the hospitality thing about Poles, where basically, you know, you get fed so much you can't move, and they won't let you out of the house until you've eaten more. I found the whole experience really irresistible, and writing the book was such a pleasure. I mean, photographing the book was such a pleasure to learn about this place I knew nothing about.
And now that it's all compiled and you look through it, if perhaps each of you could say what your favorite part of the book is, or your memory for you as well.
Favorite one? Possibly the memories I have really from my excursions, memory of traveling to Wrocław, to the local zoo, which was about 100 kilometers away. And they, the memories of discovering the world, actually escaping my parents, my grandmother, and being able to travel. And I think that's how I developed,
age
in
seven.
A way, age
yeah.
six, taste for traveling. And I think I haven't stopped in my life. I've traveled a lot, but now I travel a lot through Poland, and I've covered areas from Baltic Sea to Carpathian Mountains. I think I've been to every city and every village in Poland by now.
Well, I love Warsaw, I have to say. I think Warsaw, on a warm summer's night, the old town, is the most romantic place in Europe. And I love the way, you know, I mean, as you know, Warsaw was completely destroyed in World War II, viciously destroyed. So there's absolutely nothing left. And they rebuilt it stone by stone. And ingeniously, they rebuilt Warsaw not as it had been in 1939 before it was destroyed, but as it was at the end of the 18th century. Such a wonderful idea. And they did it using paintings by Canaletto, and they did it by using old maps and accounts, so that you literally step into the Stare Miasto in Warsaw, and it's like being at the end of the 18th century. Now, how clever is that? What other European city has done that?
Incredible. Mm-hmm. When you were given the invitation to come to Buffalo, is this the first time you've ever been to Buffalo?
It's the first time I've been to Buffalo, yes. It was a kind invitation by Jim Levitsky here. So I'm thrilled to come here. I don't know U.S. and I always wanted to come here. I've lived for 30 years now in Australia. But America for Poles was always a promised land, and land that had such an incredible history, and where human values, human rights were respected. I remember that a few friends in my class back in Poland had uncles or aunties in America, and it was such an incredible privilege to have someone living in America, although we couldn't mention it, that you had family overseas when I grew up in a communist Poland. But I've always feel America is such a country of opportunity, and it's just seeing it and the vastness of it. It's sort of, when I drove here today from Toronto, actually, like when we crossed the border, I was so thrilled to be finally in America.
Maybe some final thoughts, and perhaps maybe a word in Polish that you could give to our listeners as a greeting or a memory from you.
Okay. Dziękuję jeszcze bardzo za zaproszenie do Buffalo. Dzisiaj jest piękny, słoneczny dzień. Mam nadzieję, że spotkam wielu Polaków, którzy tutaj mieszkają. I jutro. Thank you for your invitation to Buffalo. I hope to meet many, make lots of new friends here, and I hope to meet Polish people here, Polish migrants who perhaps share with me their life stories and perhaps recipes I don't know about, and recipes for Polish food. Thank you.
Well, thank you. It was a pleasure to meet you both, and enjoy your stay.
Thank you.